a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Astros on the heel of a 9-1 victory yesterday over the Brewers. About to host a three-game series against the Reds over the weekend. They're back at 500 if you want to weigh in on them. And we got an American Pope, Pope Leo XIV. But we're calling him affectionately here on this radio program, Pope Bob and or Pope Bobbo. Last segment, we were talking about possible Houston sports rebrands because Utah Hockey Club is now the Utah Mammoth. Not mammoths. Some very good suggestions. Some leaning into the swangin' and bangin' culture. Or screw the Houston Purple Cups. The Houston Double Cups. The Houston Swangers. We already said the Houston Slabs. Someone suggested Oscar Reyes on YouTube. The Houston Mosquitoes. I think we got to bring back Skeeters. The Sugarland Space Cowboys, it's space-themed, but Skeeters was better. I like the alliteration. I thought the logo was pretty sick. We do like our friends over at the Space Cowboys, but I liked, especially since they are the first half and second half champions and International League champions, and I suppose once you've won a championship, you have to stick with it, especially if you won three championships in 1 year because minor league baseball is fun like that. But this is the best suggestion by anybody. It comes from Klug Blaze on the Twitch at ESPN 975. Houston Margaritas. Oh, man. Especially with my El Tiempo Astros hat on right now. The Houston Margaritas. Let's effing go. I love that. HGX Rhino suggests the Houston Bissonette Walkers. Hey. By the way, I got in trouble once in Seattle for pointing out that at the Chick-fil-A that I used to frequent, that there were hookers outside of it. Excuse me, my bad. Ladies of the night. There were some ladies who were standing on the corner, and it was very clear what they were up to, and a bunch of people were saying to me in response to that, wait, you eat at Chick-fil-A? Disgusting. And then two, don't assume their stories. Well, it's a pretty safe assumption to make. Why would you be standing outside when it's 50 degrees wearing little to nothing? Anyway, Houston Sip is another suggestion. It is 1:07. Earlier today, Dana Brown was on the Astros flagship station. This is our weekly segment where we discuss the many interesting things that Dana Brown says and determine whether or not we are down with what he said. Are you down with Dana B? You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too, it's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see. Are you down with Dana Brown saying this as far as the Astros offense turning it around? It's a matter of when the guys hit their stride. We think this team has a really good identity. We're waiting on that offense to really turn around. Is that right around the corner? Their approach has been better than last year, but they're just not getting it done when it comes to the power. Do they need to be a little more aggressive to perhaps get that power back? I actually wonder about that. I am not necessarily down with that idea that it is a matter for the Astros and their offense. It's a matter of when they hit their stride. Are you down with Dana Brown? He was asked about the identity of the Houston Astros. Are you down with this identity? Nice combination of hitting and pitching along with good defense and a good bullpen. Oh, so just a good team? I guess that baseball teams don't necessarily need to have an identity. That seems like it's more for college football or college basketball. And even for college football, it seems like that's slowly eroding as well, you know? That was one of the fun things about playing the college football video game, which I know Sean Mapes does, is that there's so many different offenses you can play as. You can be
still have that.
Right. But you don't see it as much. I mean, everyone's running some variant of the spread, it seems now. There's no power eye team. There's no wishbone.
I mean, it's Iowa. I think it's bad for under center football that like Iowa's your representative.
Yeah, it's not as sexy.
Even like the service academies, they still run the triple option, but it's out of shotgun more.
And they're only doing it because they know the only way they can win is if they just run you to death.
They literally can't have 300-pound offensive linemen.
Exactly. Yeah. No fatty bumbatties, just yoked folks. More from Dana Brown. Are you down with Dana Brown? He says the Astros are on the brink of turning things around. He thinks that there are slow starters, notorious slow starters, he termed it, that need to get going. I'm wondering who he's talking about because Alex Bregman's no longer here. Also, Alex Bregman's hitting like 329 with 9 homers in Boston.
I mean, I think it's just like everyone. Like just the team is a slow starting team.
Altuve, Yordan.
We see it basically every game. The record the last 5 years through however many games the Astros have now played, and they're all like around 500, except for last year, which was way below 500, and 2022, they're really good to start the year. What happened in 2022, by the way?
World Series.
What makes that team different?
Built different.
So the team that won the World Series was
built
just,
for
like,
this.
Was good immediately.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Some more. On the brink of turning things around, he says the offense should get going. They should get a few games over 500 over this homestand. I am down with this because I do think that the Astros can handle business against the Cincinnati Reds. The Royals, though, the second team that they are going to play on this homestand, 22-16, third in the AL Central, held the Astros to 7 runs in 3 games but shut them out twice. That might be a little bit difficult. We shall see.
Can we do, like, I expect them to handle team XYZ when they lost a series to the White Sox this weekend? Yeah. Like, can we do that? Can we do the, like, they'll be over 500. Like,
can you stop bringing the mood down, Sean?
That's just what the team is.
Hey.
No, they're a 500 team. For every good thing about them, there's a bad thing you can also point
to. They don't have to know that, okay? Anyway, more Dana Brown. Are you down with Dana Brown? Dana Brown on Joe Espada, his second year. You learn through your decision-making process. Play this guy, not play this guy. Pitch this guy, don't pitch this guy. There's a learning curve. He's been a good leader for some time. Are you down with Dana Brown? I am not. I don't really subscribe to the idea of Joe Espada, leader of men. Just don't feel it. Are you down with Dana Brown? Dana on Lance McCullers. Lance feels good. Satisfied I was with his first start. Sorry, he talks like Yoda now. His stuff looks pretty crisp. He's working to get back to the old Lance McCullers.
Love it.
I am buying that. I buy that Lance feels good after his first start. The real question is after starts 2, starts 3, once the wear and tear adds up. Are you down with Dana Brown? Dana Brown on Yordan. He feels a lot better. He's had this before. Muscle strain in his right hand. Is this the injury he was dealing with Dusty Baker, where Dusty Baker didn't know which hand was injured? We don't think this is going to be long. Hopefully, we get him back in the next week or so. We jumped on the issue early, let it heal, time off, and get the real Yordan soon. It's a soft tissue injury and nothing structural. Are you down with Dana Brown? I am not. This sounds like Kyle Tucker. This sounds exactly like Kyle Tucker, Dana. Come on.
Also, the small spin zone of, like, we'll get the real Yordan when he comes back, which is kind of hand-waving the start to the season that he's had. It's like, well, you know, he was playing hurt.
Yeah. Ugh. Not thrilled with this. Not thrilled with this. That is, are you down with Dana Brown? He also, as far as on Jake Meyers, he says, I think of Jake Meyers as a 250 to 270 guy with a 750 OPS. I do not buy that at all. Nope. Meyers is playing well of late. That is not who Jake Meyers is.
Has he ever done that?
No. He's had stretches where he's been that.
Been in the league for like 4 years.
Yeah. Thinking of Jake as a 250 to 270 guy is insane. And then on Cam Smith and Zach DiZenzo, I think these guys can be corner pillars for us for years to come. So there you go. That is down with Dana Brown. I'm down with that one, but we'll see. Again, you're optimistic. They kind of have to be. And those corner pillars might not necessarily be corner pillars for a good baseball team.
Also, cornerstones or pillars. Corner pillars. Is that a phrase?
That's a good question.
I feel like corner pillars isn't a phrase.
What did he say? They could be corner pillars. Yeah, he said corner pillars.
It's like two different phrases that say the same thing.
So they're double. It's not extra. Just a cornerstone. It's a cornerstone with a pillar. So that means that they're going to be God. So you know what? I'm not down with Dana Brown saying that. Anyway, the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call the text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Still getting a lot of suggestions as far as Houston sports team rebrands, because guess what, guys? The Utah Hockey Club is now the Utah Mammoth. Rebrand Houston sports teams. Stick around, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. One, Astros have the day off. They lost 2 of 3 in their most recent series against the Milwaukee Brewers after having lost 2 of 3 to the Chicago White Sox. They're a 18-18 baseball team right now. 3 games over the weekend at Daikin Park against the Cincinnati Reds with Hunter Brown, Lance McCullers, and Ronald Blanco throwing for the Astros. Also in sports, the Boston Celtics are down 2 games to none to the New York Knicks. As a Celtics fan, trying to act like I am still in control of the situation, I have resorted to calling the New York Knicks the New Jersey Nets, because I have a lot of Knick fan friends who have been very, very chirpy the last couple of days. I am still confident the Celtics win the series, but I may be forced to admit soon that this is an actual series that they are in. Also in the NBA, we saw yesterday reality catch up to the Denver Nuggets. The Oklahoma City Thunder finally have arrived to the second round. They beat Denver by 40.
Yeah. Finally, like a real, like a result that's like, okay, this feels like the NBA I know.
It's pretty wild how good this second round has been, Sean. Yeah. You're right.
Where it's A, all the underdogs win game one. B, all the East underdogs also win game two, when you think that it's the natural, like, hey, they got their one. I mean, and when road teams win the first 2 games, when they go up 2-0 going back home, they win the series like 85% of the time.
You're right.
So it is something where most of the time that we do see the higher seeded team like fight back a little bit. We'll see tonight with Minnesota. They're the only one that hasn't played a game two.
10.5-point favorites Minnesota is with no Steph Curry. He's out for a week with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, so we'll see. I was talking about it with Dell earlier. It was nice to have one where you're like in the first quarter, you're like, cool, can turn this off safely. Don't have to worry about this one coming back to bite me if I turn off this game fast, which is a very funny spot for the NBA to be in, where it's like either like all these games suck, why does the playoffs take so long?
Right.
Or when they deliver basically nothing but good games since Sunday, then it's like, all right, give me a break. All right. Like I don't want to be up all night every night having to watch all these awesome games. All right, give me time to stream something.
I'm with you, but I also have enjoyed it. This is the first time that I actually have, except for my favorite team, amazingly, this is the first time I've actually caught myself paying attention to second round games that do not involve my favorite team.
Yeah,
in a while, it's been good. We'll see if it continues. I hope to see Golden State show up tonight. I want to feel a little bit better about the Rockets going out, especially because now it does feel right now, and obviously it's early, especially with what's going on in the East. It feels like the Rockets really missed an opportunity by not being able to put an offense together in Game 7.
Yeah, I think with no Curry, though, like...
Yeah, good luck.
My expectations for the Warriors is like, hey, try to win one of the home games so that it's still a series when Curry comes back, when Curry's healthy. Because I think they said he'll miss about a week, and I think that would be 2, 3, and 4. So he's going to maybe miss the next 3 games. That's like the rough estimate. So got to get to still be a series game 5, not just let the T-Wolves win 3 straight.
And I think that Golden State is going to win another game, even if Curry's out.
They have a chance of the home games. I mean, they just need another Buddy Hield insane game where it's just like, oh, here's Klay Thompson.
They got at least one Pajimski game. I feel like per series, they're going to get one Hield game, one Pajimski game.
Yeah.
It's a matter of everybody else. There's not going to be a Brandon Post game, you know. There's not going to be
Jonathan Kuminga game?
No, definitely not.
The Jonathan Kuminga game is like, oh, he's getting minutes tonight.
If Kuminga has a good game against the Timberwolves should just quit. Yeah, they should just quit and just reestablish themselves as the worst franchise in the history of the NBA, which, by the way, they are, despite the last couple of years. We also have been getting more suggestions for Houston sports names. It's a Sean's favorite, this segment.
Yeah.
He's really been loving it. The suggestions
about
that we've been
the weather?
Getting. Yeah. No more weather suggestions, actually, Sean.
Oh.
You know, give our listeners a little bit of respect.
Houston Styrofoam Cups.
Do we
Houston Uninsured Motorists.
We do have some Houston Uninsured Motorists. I mean, that's a good nickname, Sean. Why are you?
Yeah.
Why are you not feeling that one? Houston Bad Drivers? Huh? We were just thinking about rebrands for Houston sports teams because the Utah Hockey Club is now the Utah Mammoth. And I think it's a great segment, and I think our listeners are extra creative, and I don't like what you're implying here, Sean. No.
Just 3 more minutes till we get to
that. Houston Concrete. No. You're such an a-hole. That was funny, though. Houston Construction.
I get it. Lane closures.
Now I want to stop the segment. The Houston Beach Bums. We don't have a beach. This is all from Eric the Driver. Houston Bayous. Yep. They're there. They don't have to be funny. It could be just something that's topical, Sean.
Yeah, no. Goodness. Bayous, it's like, okay.
Bayou City.
That could be like a, I don't know, like we're talking about the semi-pro team. Like Houston Bayous.
A Bayou Monster, you know?
Is there a Bayou Monster?
Surprised there isn't. I mean, I know Austin has a serial killer by their waterway, and that would be a great team nickname for.
Yeah, serial killers. Milwaukee Austin. Dommers.
He's the Milwaukee Dommers. That's a good one. DJ Screw jerseys would go crazy. So maybe the Houston Screws. There actually are Screwston Astros t-shirts that you can buy. They're not officially licensed, but.
Well, didn't they have a hat too?
I think that they did have a collaboration for a day, much like the LTMFO Astros hat I am currently wearing. The Houston Hennessy. Again, if we go full corporate sponsorship, that could theoretically work. The Houston Buckies. Okay. How about the Houston Osteens? If Joel Osteen buys a team and then it's just his big-ass teeth on the side of a helmet, that's intimidating.
I feel like that's something that would happen in, like, a GTA game where it's like the mega church has just bought an NFL team.
Or Righteous Gemstones season 5.
Yeah, Righteous Gemstones. Yeah.
If they come back. Houston Seagulls. Ew, Seagulls are disgusting animals.
Again, this is Galveston.
Yeah, like, some of this is Galveston related. Like, I can't remember the last time I've seen a seagull in Houston. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen a seagull in Houston. I'm surprised though. Seagulls would probably do pretty well, like not on the water, right? Like,
yeah,
who would win a battle, a seagull or a pigeon?
I think seagulls, they look at themselves in the mirror and they go, am I a gull? No, I'm a seagull. I can't be too far away from the sea. What am I if I'm not close to the sea? I am just a bird. Why do I have these web feet?
Oh, that's true. They do have the web feet. Are there birds called gulls that do not go by the sea? Today I learned something new.
Landlocked gulls?
The Houston Honkies. Actually, no, that's a minority in Houston, the Honkies. Yeah. The Houston Crackers also would be there. There was one that I had that I thought was fun. The Houston paper license plate on Nissan Maximas.
Oh, I thought when I said uninsured motorist, I was also going to say
the
paper
tags.
Yeah.
Paper tags, uninsured motorist, you are the same person. I personally believe they drive Chevy Malibus because that's who I got hit and run by that one time on Westheimer by a man who drove off from the scene with his seat definitely at a 60-degree incline. He drove off with this, like, the entire side of his car dragging on Westheimer Road, pulled into a Chili's parking lot, and fled on foot. The tow truck drivers brought their car over to me, and in the car, I bleep you not, a vape, definitely the weed kind, and 3 to 4 pills. Also, this same exact car was wanted for another hit and run. I guess he did not have it registered in his name. What a shocker. So all Chevy Malibu drivers, you're on my list by proxy. I am racist against Chevy Malibus. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Houston megachurches. There are several megachurches. Houston Lean Gut. Ooh, the Houston Hannahs. I'd be cool with that. I think Hannah McNair as a logo is much better than this stupid bull. The bull flag. The bull flag's lame. It's lame. Bulls get killed, you know? They can be fierce, but, like, no, not really.
Yeah, they are, like, conquered animals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, conquistadors, like, tiny Spanish men wearing the gayest wardrobe possible kill them for fun. No offense to the matadors out there, but, I mean, you're dressed rather flamboyant. You think I dress like that? Whoa, matadors.
Yeah.
And then they kill the bull. It's like, you're getting killed by that?
It's different for being a zoo animal.
Yeah.
But, like, when your animal is, like, 100% domesticated and it's just, like, we either use you to eat steak or entertain ourselves at a rodeo or at a running of the bulls, it's tough. It's a tough beat for an animal to be in that zone. Yeah, especially last couple weeks, you see all the respect gorillas are getting, you know?
Ooh, that's true.
Like, gorillas, people are like, do not... No one's asking 100 men or a bull.
That is surprising that there's no gorilla team nickname anywhere. There's no orca team nickname. The Canucks have it as their logo in hockey, and there's no gorilla. Like, these are two fearsome animals.
Even, like, sharks. Like, there's not, like, a college team with sharks, or, you know, a Division I college team.
No, you're
sharks.
Right.
There's
you're
only
right.
the San Jose,
There's
right?
the San Jose Sharks in hockey. Hockey seems to have the greatest range as far as nicknames, like mythological creatures and animals.
They do it, I think they do it right. The right amount of, like, ridiculous or just kind of, like, they're open to a lot of things. Because I think NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, they play it too safe. They play it way too safe with these nicknames. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't want the bad reception with one of these names where – in hockey, they just kind of let it fly. Also, if your team was created before like 1960, I feel like they're just like, I don't know, Red Sox. Let's do it. White Sox. Let's do it. Like, they're much, much less of an editing process. You can tell that all these get manicured down to like, well, we want to represent XYZ. Just call it something cool. Call it the Gorillas. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Screw it. Houston Hitmen, Houston Cartels. No, let's stay away from that.
Why? Houston Sicarios. That's Spanish for hitmen.
That would actually
if
be
you've seen the first
cool.
10 seconds of the movie Sicario.
I think there's been like some incidents, you know, a little close to
There's been incidents with uninsured motorists.
Well, that's true too. But
who's to
different.
Say what's more important, Paul?
No one's dying in those, generally. Another
you don't know.
From the 832, a texter asks, why is it okay to say Houston Honkies and Crackers and not Houston? Cannot say that word. Cannot say that other word either.
Good point. Let's talk about this. I'm sure this texter wants to actually, like,
no,
really
I think
break it down.
No, this person wanted me to read it on the air and get me fired. I literally think it's that. Because this guy listens, but I don't think he's a fan. Here's the thing. I think the people that get upset about, like, well, why could they call us Honkies and Crackers? Like, I think you're a loser. It's like, wow, that offends you, actually? Does that actually offend you? Really? it's kind of soft boy. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. We're all over the place. We're having fun, though, huh? Sean, do you want to do another segment of this?
Yeah, I think we'll get to some good stuff.
Yeah, I think we'll get more nicknames.
Once we get to, like, idea 75, that's when the good stuff
happens. I think the nickname segment has run its course, but this has been fun. Up next, even though Sean doth protest without actually protesting, put your name on it, bro. Put your name on it. You out?
What?
Put your name on it.
Put my name on what?
Are you out on the segment?
Yeah. I thought I made that clear.
I didn't know I had to say it. 10-Minute Drill is next. Stephon Diggs. Should the Texans have brought him back? I don't know. Sounded like they might. They maybe should have. And Tom Brady just gave the most unnecessary compliment to a Houston sports legend. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-Minute Drill starts now.
Football time.
Yes, it does. On the most interactive sports talk show in town, Stephon Diggs is the newest member of the New England Patriots. He tore his ACL just 6 months ago, October 27th, Game 8, for the Houston Texans. Per multiple Patriots players, Diggs is looking awesome. Patriots tight end Austin Hooper said this, "Energy, man. You could see he's a freak. I know he just came off what he came off of, and you could see him already with the explosion, the change of direction, the top end. It's like, dang, dude. It must be nice. You know what I mean? I'm really excited to work with a proven veteran and a good player in this league." Did the Texans miss out, not bringing him back? Based
Sounds
off of awesome. Austin Hooper, yeah, Sean.
Sounds awesome.
I mean, I am skeptical about this. You know what I think this is a reflection of?
And the
this is a
previous
bummer to admit.
Patriots wide receivers?
Yes. The Patriots wide receivers are not good. We're not good. The last time they had a good wide receiver was probably
Edelman?
Julian Edelman. Yeah. It's been a while since the Patriots have had a good receiver.
2019.
Right. And I don't think he looked quite as good.
No, 2018 he was good.
Without Tom Brady. Yeah. But he did win the Super Bowl MVP, but that was the 2018-2019 season. You're right.
No, did he? No. Wait, I thought he won it for the Falcons Super Bowl, right?
No, Brady won that one. He won it for the Rams Super
Bowl. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because that was just an absolute car crash of a game.
Oh,
but he had 10 catches for 141 yards.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was easy.
I guess I was just thinking of the catch he had against
the Rams.
And it's just one of those things where it gets, whatever, smushed together.
He should not, I'll even admit, have been allowed to make that catch because the man was 100% concussed earlier in that game, and he should have been taken out of the game.
That's a Super Bowl.
I like that they let him continue to play. But he was literally out and had to be picked up to his feet. Apparently, Tom Brady admitted this the other day. Brady admitted that during Super Bowl 51, was it 51? Yeah, it was 51. During Super Bowl 51, he does not remember the last drive. Because he got hit hard, I guess, on the last drive, the touchdown drive in overtime. He got hit hard. So he says he doesn't remember scoring to win Super Bowl 51. Which is wild. The greatest comeback in NFL history. You don't remember the end of it.
Yeah. Although I will be honest, I do feel like most, if you ask like who scored the game-winning touchdown in that Super Bowl, I don't know how many non-Patriots fans would be like James White.
That's true. White.
He was really good. He was insane.
I mean, White should have been, I think, the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, because I think he also got one of the two-point conversions, too.
Yeah. I think he had. Did he have four touchdowns in that game? Interesting. Anyway,
James White. sitting in his house, being like, "That's right,
that's Brady, right.
Brady has my Super Bowl MVP. I carried that guy."
How many did he have in that Super Bowl? Yeah, three touchdowns. Okay, three touchdowns and a 2-point conversion.
I was gonna say, I know he got one of the 2-point conversions.
He set a record for the most individual points scored in a Super Bowl with 20. He should have won MVP. I mean, I know it always goes to the quarterback, but like he should have won MVP. I thought I remember that right. Speaking of, sorry to make this rather Patriot-centric, but it does go back to the Texans. J.J. Watt got praise from Tom Brady. Tom Brady, who in an interview with a Paul brother, who I refuse to acknowledge, admitted that the Netflix roast was the biggest F-up of his life because of his kids, who asked him, like, why did you feel the need to do this afterwards? Fair point by the kids. It was a rather egomaniacal move.
Yeah. It's also tough because that's, Tom Brady's kids are just now teenagers, probably. Right. So that's, like, right around when, like, they will just come to Tom Brady and be like, what the hell is this, Dad?
Mm-hmm. So I understand them calling him out on that, and he says it's one of the biggest regrets, if not the biggest regrets of his life. What a charmed life you live. Oh, the roast.
Yeah, no, a 20-year NFL career, no, mostly hits, honestly. Nothing I want back.
Speaking of the hits, he was also asked which players he feared hitting him the most. One, Ray Lewis was at the top. Ndamukong Suh, I didn't like getting hit by him. J.J. Watt wasn't very fun to get hit by. Haloti Ngata, you remember him? He was massive, 340 pounds. J.J. Watt, somebody that Tom Brady was scared of getting hit by. Here's the problem. I think he only hit Tom Brady once in his entire career. I'm not kidding. I looked this up. Watt had zero sacks of Tom Brady in 8 career games against him. And he did have a half sack and a quarterback hit against him in that 2013 Patriots-Texans playoff game, which was a little closer than the game that had been played weeks earlier, the Letterman Jackets game, where the Patriots got out to the 28-0 lead. Daniel Manning had like a 99-yard kick return at the beginning, but the Texans couldn't score, which, yeah, rather frustrating. They played all right against the Patriots in the playoffs, all things considered.
Respectable losses.
They were respectable losses, both of them.
Now, when you were watching the game, you're like, there's no chance these guys win. But they kept it in there. That is funny that J.J. Watt never actually decked them. Maybe that quarterback hit is just a absolute...
It must have been a hit.
...pile driver. But, yeah. Was he just... Oh, no. I don't want to do this.
Do it.
Do you think he was just thinking of, like, who's good when I was alone?
Yes, 100%.
Who are the best defensive
players? Dude, he played forever. I'm surprised he didn't say Jason Taylor, because I think Jason Taylor sacked him more than anybody. Jason Taylor with the Dolphins. Jason Taylor was a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you had Ray Lewis, who's, like, a middle linebacker from kind of one generation, and then you have J.J. Watt, a different generation, the best defensive lineman that he played regularly. Of that time, I guess Aaron Donald's better, but how many times did he play Aaron Donald? He was in that Super Bowl. It was the AFC, NFC.
That Super Bowl, I think he played against Aaron Donald in that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the Rams, Patriots.
He should have been hit by him, I would assume.
Maybe he's like Brady was like, nah,
I mean,
little guy. That little defensive tackle. Who cares?
So, zero sacks against Brady in the regular season. He did have 12 quarterback hits. Okay, so 12 quarterback hits.
One of them's got to be hard. Yeah.
And a quarterback hit in the playoffs. Okay, one of them must have been hard. But anyway, I thought it was funny considering J.J. Watt doesn't even have a full sack if you include the playoffs on Tom Brady, that he's one of the hitters that Tom Brady feared the most.
Yeah.
Continuing to go around the NFL, Tyreek Hill was asked who his top 5 quarterbacks are, and he actually gave an honest answer because he didn't list Tua Tagovailoa. I wonder if he still wants to get traded.
I'm sure he's open to it. He's got to be open to it.
I think he's open to it. I'm curious if there's a market for him. I mean, I still think he's close to the fastest player in the NFL, if not still the fastest player in the NFL. And I do feel like he is.
Definitely like acceleration. Well, I don't know about like top end. You know, like the top speed. But when it comes to, like, I guess how well he uses his speed, he uses his speed better than anybody.
Yeah. It's a quick speed.
And it's very stop-start. And he can go from a stop to top speed in, like, 5 strides.
Yeah. it's kind of Messi-esque, Lionel Messi, if you want to make a cross-sport comparison, but Messi's not as fast. It's more that how does Messi move that quickly and the ball seems to literally be in his pocket?
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's like he takes all the right steps. Like he takes the most efficient route at all times.
I wonder if he does end up getting moved at some point this offseason. It's because it feels like he is trying to hint that I'm not thrilled here, but I'm not all the way out, even though I said I was all the way out at the end of the year. It's weird.
It seems like I want to be traded, but I'm not quite ready to hit the hold out and demand a trade button. Like, I'm not quite ready to, like, go all the way. Maybe I just want to still live in Miami or something. Like, he's actually, live in Miami is pretty cool.
Miami's pretty awesome. Except for when you go to the marina and get the cops called on you for assaulting a marina worker, which he did. One of many things.
But that can happen anywhere. To be fair, that can happen anywhere for Tyreek Hill.
It's wild he has not had a suspension of some sort for off the field incidents. Like he was punished by being drafted in the fifth round. That's pretty much it. Also, something I forgot: the Indianapolis Colts have very interesting assistant coaches. First off, Lou Anarumo, remember him from the Cincinnati Bengals? He's their defensive coordinator now. Totally went under the radar to me. And their offensive coordinator has the best name maybe in sports, Jim Bob Cooter.
Oh, nice.
Hell yeah. So there you go. That's the 10-minute drill. That little tidbit. I was going through Pro Football Talk, and I was like, oh, yeah, Jim Bob Cooter.
There's just a headline about Jim Bob Cooter excited to work with so-and-so.
I have a question that you can answer on the other side if you so choose. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. Who is the Darth Vader of Houston sports? And who's the Darth Vader of ESPN 97.5? I ask that because somebody has used being called Darth Vader to get themselves a lot of money. Stay put.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. We got an American Pope, Pope Leo XIV, found that out today. I think you should have stuck with Pope Bob, if not Pope Bobbo. Pope Bobby. Also, Astros have the day off. They're at 500 after winning yesterday. And the NBA playoffs have been a whole lot of fun. We did finally see some reality between the Thunder and Nuggets, with the Thunder winning by 40. But my beloved Boston Celtics are down 2-0 against the New York Knicks, which is short for Knickerbockers. I do not understand why they moved away from that word, and then you say it and you're like, oh damn, that would get screwed up on radio broadcasts and TV broadcasts all the time.
Yeah, gotta be careful.
What a name for pants. Why didn't we just call them pants? No, we have to call them this. Very strange. Was there an inside joke that we were all missing in the 1900s or 1800s? I'm not sure. All I know is it's a very strange team nickname. I'd rather be named after socks than pants.
Yeah, this kind of goes back to what we were saying, where if you named your team before a certain time, you could really just name whatever, and people would roll with it. Cincinnati Reds. Cool. All right.
Wasn't good in the 50s, though.
love it.
Per artificial intelligence, the term Knickerbocker for New Yorkers, particularly those with Dutch heritage, originated from Dutch settlers who wore baggy knee-length pants called Knickerbockers. Interesting. You would have thought that those would be the terms that we used for all 2000s shorts, which were generally halfway down your calf, as opposed to the ones I'm wearing now, which are, you know, basically nut huggers. But here we are in the year 2025. Someone has earned a lot of money for getting what I would consider a compliment. Comparing someone at work to the Star Wars villain Darth Vader is insulting and upsetting, an employment tribunal has ruled. A judge concluded being told you have the same personality type as Darth Vader is a workplace detriment, a legal term meaning harm or negative impact. Darth Vader, legendary villain of the Star Wars series, being aligned with his personality is insulting. This is a case from England. A NHS blood donation worker won almost £30,000 after her co-worker took a psychological test on her behalf and told colleagues that she fell into the Darth Vader category. Hang on a second. She got fined $30,000 for taking a personality test online and coming up with this? Is this what England's become? Honestly, I kind of want to move to England. Every single time someone insults me on the text line, I just report you and sue you. It would be great. But it has me thinking, okay, who's the Darth Vader in Houston sports? And I saw some people nominate people that are scary like Darth Vader because they're so good. Hakeem Olajuwon, J.J. Watt, Jose Altuve, blah, 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 blah. No. Who was the person that was the workplace Darth Vader? Bill O'Brien. That's the answer. That's the answer. I don't think anyone's ever come close. I don't think anyone's been quite as disliked in Houston sports history as Bill O'Brien. Maybe Jerry Glanville with the Houston Oilers back in the day would have been one too. But it seemed like Glanville rubbed other people that were outside of Houston the wrong way. Because he was basically like an unsuccessful John Gruden, which is why he had a very successful career in TV. I guess honestly, if I think about it, I mean, Glanville obviously didn't win a Super Bowl like Gruden did, because Gruden won the Super Bowl with the Bucs and he had the good year with the Raiders. But there's some rough years afterwards, some lean years. But I'm trying to think of other ones who would be considered the Darth Vader of their workplace.
Who's the guys that have been who are notoriously hard to work with, like Chris Paul?
Yeah, Chris Paul would have been a good one. And then eventually,
from a certain point of view,
nice.
Actually, James Harden is the Darth Vader. Oh, you know what? Oh,
it's a great Star Wars line, by the way.
Here's one. Here's one. Tom Herman.
Ooh, yeah.
He was the chosen one. And also, behind the scenes, he's got a little Bill O'Brien to his game. He's got a little...
That's true. I
wouldn't say he's a joy to work with.
Also a liar. Darth Vader lied that much. I think he was rather open.
He was pretty straightforward.
But then again, when they got...
He lied to the younglings.
He did. Well, actually, he just pulled out.
He didn't answer.
He didn't answer them.
good job.
What I gave you to do, Master Skywalker?
Say what you want about Anakin Skywalker. Honest guy.
There was the incident where Princess Leia tells Grand Moff Tarkin where Alderaan is, but that was Grand Moff Tarkin who ordered the code red on old Aldi.
Yeah, he oversaw it.
The Darth Vader. Yeah, Tom Herman's a good one. I mean, Tom Herman, guess what?
Would have had the high ground if he stayed at the University of Houston.
Leaving for Texas was the equivalent of Anakin trying to jump Obi-Wan on that platform.
Yeah.
I hate you! Yeah. You must hate Texas. Where is he now? FIU? FAU?
He got fired from FAU.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Is he unemployed?
I'm sure he's doing something. You know.
All right.
Yeah,
he's got a family to feed.
Yeah, Uber Eats.
Dude. I was spoken like a true Texas fan.
I only say that because I don't know what his actual where he is right now. If he's an offensive coordinator somewhere or something. He has the urination chart, but for I guess skin burns, like Anakin Skywalker.
Virginia Buttonweed says Mike Fiers. Well, Mike Fiers. He was a whistleblower. Darth Vader's not blowing whistles.
He's the guy in Rogue One that built the Death Star who passed it along. There's the little little access port.
Yeah, the guy who has played Hannibal Lecter in a TV series.
Mads Mikkelsen.
That guy, yeah.
From Rogue One. I don't know his Star Wars name. Probably something pretty silly.
Deshaun Watson is the Vader. He was supposed to save us, but he brought us to darkness.
That's another good one.
That's a good one. Betrayed a lot of massage therapists.
You know,
like they
again,
were younglings.
Not to sit here and be an Anakin Skywalker apologist.
From a certain point of view.
He had eyes for one woman, that Anakin Skywalker.
That's true.
Serial monogamy.
But, to be fair, I mean, through all the massages, Deshaun Watson is engaged to his fiancée, Jilly Anais, who is a very strong and very powerful, independent woman, much like Padme was.
So the massages are him in the tank getting healed?
I have no comment on the matter. It's the Paul Gallant Show. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN975. Food for thought for the final hour of the show. One, I don't think we've talked about the Houston Texans draft at all in weeks. Seriously. And look, I think that draft grades are kind of dumb. But I do think that grading draft grades is fun. Who actually had the best grade of the Houston Texans draft? We'll discuss on the other side. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.